Okay. Hi, everyone. Thanks for coming. So yes, my podcast is called Little Deaths, and it's just about all those transformational moments in our life that kind of feel like deaths when you're in them, but they are kind of crucial to get you to your next stage of expansion. So on the podcast, I just tell stories, vulnerable stories about those little deaths in my life. And I have up here Roxana and Kyle. They're gonna help me sing the theme song that I wrote. No, I did write it. So here we go. The three of us are going to record that, and I'm going to put it on the podcast so you can hear it. And I'm going to vamp for a few seconds while they do this. So who's out there? No, I'm just kidding. Hi, Tao. I'm Kim. This is my best friend from high school, you guys, since we were 14. What else should I say while I'm vamping? Thank you, Dub. Thank you, Chasten. Appreciate that. Yeah, I started the podcast because I really wanted to out all of my shadows because they were kind of controlling me, and I felt like better to just say all the things. That way, there's nothing holding me back. So let me tell you a story. This is episode one from the podcast. So it was one random summer afternoon with my 30th birthday looming. I accepted a gig, taking photos for some girl that wanted to post herself on Instagram for her birthday, carrying a fistful of balloons in front of an industrial-looking building down the street from Earth Cafe in the Arts District in Los Angeles, California. She showed up with a fresh press and a bodycon dress. God love her. But the shoot was legitimately a mess. I mean, several of her balloons had gone flat by the time she arrived. Her fake eyelashes were sliding down her face in the heat. And my piss-poor attitude was really just the cherry on top. So, why did I have a bad attitude? Well, at the time, I was living a life of an out-of-work, far from having made it actor. So my life consisted of shitty service jobs that barely paid the bills, and one rejection after another in the audition room. And I'm not talking about rejection from projects I actually cared about, okay? I'm talking about rejection from student films involving fake blood that looked like ketchup. I was in a full-on dog paddle, trying to prove my worth to a room full of bored, white strangers carrying clipboards and frappuccinos. I would think to myself, my God, how do I quiet the desperation and convince these people that I don't need this? When really, my entire worth as a human is riding on this moment. Chaos ensued my body, and nothing I did would quiet the constant symphony in my brain telling me my life would never have any true value. And back to the story. So I pushed through those self-loathing feelings, and I finished the shoot, performing various acrobatics all afternoon to ensure we got something really special. I mean, I was getting $75 out of the deal. So as I finished, I walked back towards my car with my camera across my right shoulder, already coming down from the creative high I had been riding for the last hour. And as I approached my perpetually dirty white Jetta, I suddenly realized I didn't have my keys. I started searching in all my pockets, nothing. Then I realized not only was I missing my keys, my entire purse seemed to have vanished as well, including my wallet. So, when these situations go down, which has happened to me many times over the course of my life, when I lived in Chile, I lost so many prepaid cell phones that my friends started calling me cabeza de pollo, which translates to chicken head. So, wasn't a big fan of that moniker. But when that stuff goes down, my mind immediately travels to the worst case scenario. So I'm seeing my identity being stolen, my car towed, sold for parts, me walking home in tattered shoes and clothing, weeping the entire way. That's the dramatic actor in me. Luckily, I did have my cell phone in my back pocket, so there'd be no walking home through dark alleyways. I called AAA. I didn't actually have a AAA account, but I discovered a few years earlier that I could actually use my parents' account because my dad and I are both named Kim. One of the perks of being a junior. When I call, they verify my birthday with some confusion in their voice. So it's April 5th, 1953, is that correct? Yes, it is. I am a boomer. My father fought in World War II. So the AAA guy shows up, this tall, unassuming guy with dark hair and kind eyes, around my age. He pops my car door open. So I start searching for my keys and wallet, which I knew had to have been buried beneath a pile of clothes or underneath a takeout container. I was an aspiring actor living in LA, so I was living out of my car. The AAA guy leans against his truck and observes me, expressionless. My energy was getting more and more manic as I continued my search, throwing old film roll scripts, burrowing under assorted piles of my crap. My keys and wallet were nowhere to be found. So at that point, I think the only way to describe what happened would be to say that I had a breakdown. Heat began to form in my chest and rise up my throat, and before I even registered what was happening, The heat transformed itself into words that flew out of my mouth. I started to verbally berate myself in a very intense way, like tearing me apart limb from limb, not letting up for a second. The hot summer air hung around my shoulders, and I swear to God, I melted under the weight of my own self-hate and failed expectations. I mean, you would have needed a spatula to peel me off the sticky black tar. After about a minute of this, I fell silent. The AAA guy that I become completely unaware of in my haze of vitriol finally broke that silence with one word: wow. I sputtered back to reality, and he was like, "I've never heard anyone talk to themselves like that before." I was like, "What? What? What are you talking about? You are the AAA guy, okay? You see people in their worst moments. You literally haul people off the side of the fucking freeway. You must see this kind of shit all the time." Nope. Not like this. My head was foggy at that point. My not-so-little meltdown had given me a migraine, and I became woozy at the shocking revelation that I, Kim Allen, had somehow become the least adjusted person in the greater Los Angeles area. That meltdown in downtown revealed for the first time just how low my self-worth had fallen. It was in the gutter. And there was no acting job, relationship, or bi-weekly paycheck within sight to create the illusion that I was winning. There was just me. And I clearly wasn't really a fan of me. I clearly didn't love myself, okay? And at that point, self-love was everywhere. It was in every quote as I scrolled Instagram, it was on the cover of every magazine as I stood in line at the grocery store. All of these toothy-ass, fake-ass grins mocking me, proclaiming their boundless self-love, while I was buying a $12 pack of cigarettes with the genius plan to smoke one and then throw the rest of the pack in the outside trash can where my roommate wouldn't find the evidence. Yeah, I know, it's embarrassing, I'm embarrassed. I was definitely going through it, and there was not a, you know, decadent bubble bath or a impromptu mani-pedi at the nail salon that was going to correct this imbalance, although those things probably would have felt great had I had any money, which I didn't. What I needed was a series of subtle changes. My mega meltdown gave me the gift of awareness. And it became impossible to ignore my speech patterns, my thought patterns. I mean, I would say to myself, "Damn it, Kim, you were so fucking..." And before I could even finish the thought, this alarm would sound in my brain: "Careful, you are moving dangerously close to self-destructive tendencies." Thank you, let me know. And let's be real, sometimes the alarm would sound and I would just double down on the hate talk anyway, just to prove that I still could, because I do what I want. My progress wasn't linear. It never is. Slowly, ever so slowly, I adjusted the way I spoke to myself, the way I talked about myself, the way I looked at myself in the mirror, the way I touched myself. And I don't just mean the way I masturbated, but that evolved as well. I'm talking about the way I put on lotion in the morning. I took my time. The masturbation thing? Yeah. I infused love and care into every movement because that's what I deserve. I pretended like I had a crush on myself, and in time, I actually developed one. I unraveled those parts of me that had been silenced, punished, shoved into shallow graves, leaving buckets of shame in their place. And I picked up each and every one of those shame buckets and emptied those bitches out. And let me tell you, it was a tedious process, but it had to be done, right? It had to be done. She knows. Every time I chose self-compassion, I saw a little glimpse of a future that could be mine. A future where I wasn't at war with my body, where I actually felt at home in my own body. And my inner symphony of naysayers finally just shut the fuck up. Little flutters of hope arrived and elevated my vibrations little by little, ushering in the right tools, the right people, the right situations, the right jobs, the right conversations, the right projects to align me with a higher path, with my path, with my purpose, my purpose. So yes, I died a little death that day on the steamy blacktop in downtown. And if I'm lucky,